Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, our very good friend who has shown up despite his elevation to the Senate from the House of Representatives. He said he would, and he has, and we are very grateful. Okay, so let me start with this, Chris. Are you talking to swing senators like Manchin and others about how to get infrastructure through?
We are. It's obviously a tricky dance ahead of us because we are going to try to pass a landmark infrastructure proposal in two pieces. First is a bipartisan bill that will require 60 votes. That's about $500 million. The rest, $3.5 trillion, will be done through reconciliation, and that requires 50 votes. But as you mentioned, it still requires people like Joe Manchin to support both. So far, the more conservative Democrats in the Senate have been very open to this process. I think the devil's in the details. There's still going to be a lot of haggling as to what ends up in the reconciliation proposal. But I think this process makes a lot of sense. It's more complicated than just one bill, but this, does allow Republicans to, give their imprimatur to part of the funding, which I think is good and important. I always rather do things with Republicans, but it doesn't give them veto power over the future of this country, especially given the fact that voters decided to put Democrats in charge. That was their very deliberate choice in the presidential election and then in the legislative elections and the special elections in Georgia. So I think this is a bit of a dance. It'll take a little bit longer to get both of these through, but in the end, we will have the most significant investment in American families and America's infrastructure in the history of the country. And what a difference that will make.
When you walk down the hallway and you see Senator Manchin going in the same direction, and knowing how crucial his vote is, do you ever take your hand and just throw it around his shoulders?
Well, Senator Manchin and I, we spend a lot of time together because he is one of the most important drivers of gun policy in Congress. So he was the author of the background checks compromise in 2013. He has been willing over and over to go out on a limb and lead on the issue of gun violence, even though he comes from, the state where Donald Trump did the best of any state represented by a Democrat in the Senate. So while we've been having these discussions on infrastructure, I've been sitting in my office with Joe Manchin nearly every week trying to get more Republicans to join us on a background checks bill. So during those times, I certainly get to talk to him about everything else that's going on. And while Joe and I don't have the same priorities on spending or taxation, we do work hand in hand on other issues. And he's a really critical member of our caucus.
Now, jumping from that to the Supreme Court, should Justice Breyer retire, and avoid having the Republicans potentially name yet another justice?
It is not good practice, in my belief, for members of the Senate to give advice to Supreme Court justices on their retirement date. That is up to them, and I think that there's an appropriate separation of responsibility between that branch and our branch. That being said, it's no secret that the more conservative members of the bench were very thoughtful in targeting their retirement to align with Republican control of the Senate, and that has resulted in the dramatic, rightward turn of the Supreme Court. So it is up to each individual member of the court as to when they think that their time to serve has ended. As I would hope that people would leave it to me to decide if I'm not unelected when I should retire, but Republican justices clearly have been very strategic in the choices that they've made.
Okay, I want to ask you about the filibuster, of course. Will we see it scrapped anytime soon?
I hope at the very least we'll see it reformed. I gave a long speech on the Senate floor a few weeks ago, and I talked about how dangerous it is to give the minority party this much power, and how it really robs from the American public the ability to determine for themselves the direction of the country. It's fundamentally anti-democratic to have the voters decide we want A to happen, but for the rules of the Senate, determined just by 100 senators, to stand in the way of that desire by the American public. So, for instance, the public wants universal background checks. They've elected a majority in the House and a majority in the Senate that support universal background checks. But there aren't 60 people in the Senate that support universal background checks. And despite the fact that 90% of Americans want it, the rules of the Senate prevent it from becoming law. What are we going to do? Maybe we don't have the votes to scrap the filibuster entirely, but maybe we can make some reforms to it. Maybe, for instance, you could take a look at certain things that would be subject to 50 votes, like reforms to voting laws, something that I think is particularly dangerous for the minority to control. We're looking at all sorts of proposals by which to reform the filibuster. I'll be a supporter of all of them because I just think what we have today is fundamentally anti-democratic.
Do you think you might live to regret that if the Republicans take the Senate?
Well, if Republicans take the Senate and elections are free and fair, that's the voter's choice. And I live in a democracy, which means that I give to the voters of the country, as a member of that democracy, the power to decide by majoritarian vote which direction this country takes. And so, yeah, I guess I could, continue to support the filibuster so that in the case that the majority of Americans want a policy that's different from the one that I support, my policy remains in place. But I don't think that's actually at the heart of what American democracy is about. And so that's why I think you've got to get rid of the filibuster to give the power back to the people to decide what happens in this country.
Senator Chris Murphy, I got to ask you this, and that is, what do you think about the way in which state legislatures in the Republican states are trying to rob the vote by changing the rules?
I think it's incredibly dangerous. I think it represents a fundamental shift by the Republican Party. I think they have come to the conclusion that their set of ideas are so unpopular that they can't achieve a majority of vote if everyone is allowed to vote. And so instead, they've decided to try to change the composition of the electorate. They're going to try to make it harder for poor people and black people to vote. And if they are successful, then they hope those that are still able to turn out to vote will support Republicans. We can't let that happen. We can't let Republicans give up on democracy just because they have policies that are deeply unpopular with poor people. Doesn't mean that poor people don't have the same right to vote as rich people. And so a lot of these reforms that have been enacted in places like Texas are designed to make it easier for poor people to vote. People that have, limited windows with which to vote, they should be able to vote by absentee ballot, by mail-in vote, by drive-through vote. And Republicans are trying to limit the ability of those families of lesser means to be able to cast their vote. We need federal legislation to stop those crackdowns on voting from happening. And, we're working hard to try to make that happen.
Is it going to happen?
It probably will necessitate a change in the filibuster, as we were talking about. So that's why I'm talking about a potential carve-out where 50 votes are necessary for changes in voting laws, because right now we can't find more than one or two Republicans that would join with us on any of these voting protections, these laws that would stop states from moving forward with these crackdowns on mail-in voting, for instance.
United States Senator Chris Murphy, one of my favorite people up in that place. And so, Chris, you're very decent to show up and to talk to us, and we all appreciate it. And we have one more of these to do, and when we do it, you'll be free to have black bean soup for lunch.
I promise you I will.